You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Bart Scott. What hour is that?
The Power Hour.
That's right. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, weather looking nasty. Don't change your plans. Change your wiper blades. Michelin wiper blades use advanced technology to hug your windshield to channel away water, snow, and ice so you can see clearly and drive confidently. Upgrade to Michelin wiper blades. Available on Amazon Prime. We go right now to the Goodyear Hotline. Bob Arum, CEO, Top Rank, joining us right now. Back on the show with us again. Bob, thanks so much. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. My pleasure to talk to you.
All right. So I'm looking at the schedule for Saturday night. We are both pretty fired up for this fight. We've been waiting, certainly, for the trilogy, for this thing to finally get to completion. And I'm seeing a schedule I want you to confirm for me. I'm seeing 4:30 p.m. Eastern, the undercards begin on the ESPN app. ESPN2, ESPN Plus has the preliminary fights that start at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then the main card's really going to start 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus?
That is correct. That is correct. And the main card, I mean, the fight leading in to the pay-per-view at 9 p.m. New York time, Eastern time, is Edgar Berlanga, who's knocking guys out in every fight that he fights. And that is on free ESPN prior to the pay-per-view telecast. And the pay-per-view telecast will have three heavyweight bouts prior to the main event. Every one of the heavyweight bouts is a top heavyweight, and it's the best undercard for a pay-per-view show in history. I mean, with PBC and Top Rank, we've put together a dynamic card. Every one of those heavyweight fights underneath is a main event. You have Jared Anderson, who's a lot of people say is the next heavyweight, American heavyweight champion. He'll be fighting an undefeated Russian. And then PBC has Helenius and Kowanki, two highly rated heavyweights going at it. And then finally, we have the African giant Effie fighting against Frank Sanchez, two undefeated heavyweights. Really, it's a quality undercard. People should watch if they, you know, and then they buy the pay-per-view, watch all four fights, because obviously when Tyson Fury fights Deontay Wilder, it's an all-action fight. So it's a great night of boxing for people, and I really recommend that every sports fan buys the pay-per-view.
Well, I'll buy it just for the love, Bob. You know, but when you talk about, you know, spotlighting or showcasing the heavyweight division, the welterweight division is maybe the more exciting division with the depth. But but when you talk about the heavyweight division, that's what we sign up for, to see the pure violence. You talk about the violence in which, he fought with last, Fury fought with last fight, the licking of the blood. I mean, just, really, really beating
Wilder.
But also, Mark Breland cost him his job. I think he saved his life, because I think that at that point he was in no position to really protect himself. But, if Tyson Fury, some people will call this the rubber match, right? Even though it was a tie and then mm-hmm. Fury won. But some people would say, and let's just say, okay, for case of argument, that this is a rubber match. What different can Deontay Wilder bring that he wasn't able to do last time? I know he has a new trainer, Malik Scott, and he's hoping to try and come and give Fury something different. Can you tell me if it's going to be different?
Yeah. Well, again, it's like it going into a bar. Big bruiser guy goes into a bar, and there's some guy mouthing off at him. You know, maybe not as big and not as tough. And so you'd figure the big guy is gonna make mincemeat out of the guy shooting his mouth off. But the guy shooting his mouth off has a gun. And unless the big guy can beat the hell out of the other guy before he reaches for his gun, he is in danger. And Deontay Wilder has the best punch that I've seen in over 50 years in the heavyweight division. And it's like, for me, the equivalent of a guy going in the ring with a rifle. You can beat him up, but if he can fire that shot at you, it's all over.
Yeah,
and that's what the fight is about. That's what the fight is about. I think Tyson Fury is far and away the best boxer between the two of them. I think all of the check marks that you make favor Tyson Fury, except for the fact that Deontay Wilder has the best punch that I've ever seen in the heavyweight division. Stronger than Ernie Shavers, stronger than George Foreman, because it's a different kind of punch. It's not a thudding punch like they had, but it's like a rifle shot, which comes with tremendous force and acceleration.
And he's caught Tyson.
And that's Deontay Wilder's chance. Mm. That's his only chance to win.
Well, when you talk about a rifle, you got it. You need the target to sit still enough, and you know Tyson Fury won't sit still for him. And you know that's the one fighter that he has to punch up to.
Tyson Fury was beating him pretty handily in the first fight, and then in the 12th round,
got him.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Wilder hit him with a punch that looked like he was going to put Fury out for 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And Fury somehow pulled himself together, got up, and attacked Wilder. So, again, I mean, you're absolutely right. If a guy is a stationary target, it's easier to hit him. But if you throw enough of those rifle shots, throw enough of those punches, you're going to connect. And if you connect, anything can happen.
Yeah, Luis Ortiz found that out. King Kong, you know, outboxed, you know, Wilder for most of the fight. And then that's just that one shot that ended his night.
Ortiz was gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to talk about the heavyweight division as a whole as well, because, you know, kind of looking forward, if Tyson Fury is able to take care of a business. You know, the big fight that everybody was anticipating was Anthony Joshua, who he always called a bodybuilder boxing. Well, he lost his titles. So what's next? Do you think Tyson will go to unify? And then after that, what's next?
Well, again, there's a contract that Usyk signed obligating him to do a rematch with Joshua. Now, if Fury wins, I'll try to talk to them. I think the fight that people would want to see would be Tyson Fury against Usyk.
Yes.
For all the belts.
Yes.
And then let Joshua fight the winner. Now, I don't know if everybody got to go along with that. I don't know if that's going to happen. So if we assume that Usyk is going to fight Joshua, then who would Tyson Fury fight if he wins? And there are a number of good heavyweights we could put him with. One is Joe Joyce, the undefeated kid from the UK who's beaten everybody. He's undefeated, a terrific fighter. Or Dillon White, who is rated number one. and has a tough fight coming up October 30 with Wallen, the Swedish kid. So, you know, Tyson has, assuming he beats Wilder, some really good opponents. Another one might be the Helenius Kowacki winner on Saturday night. Two big European heavyweights, and Fury against the winner would be an interesting fight.
Talking with Bob Arum on the Goodyear Hotline, Top Rank, of course, as we have the big fight this weekend, ESPN Plus on the pay-per-view, Fury versus Wilder. This is three. And, Bob, I mean, this is what you were talking about, the one hit, and then Fury in the first fight, and he somehow gets up, like just wakes up and bursts back up, and what a dramatic moment that was. Then, of course, in the second fight, throwing the towel, but, you know, Wilder coming in wearing all whatever the costume was and then saying, oh, that was heavy, and it caused me to you know, affected my conditioning, all that stuff. There's just so much drama in this. He signs up for the trilogy, but you guys really were more focused on a fight with Anthony Joshua. Did you think this was...
Wouldn't you be?
Yeah,
the
of course.
The Saudis were talking to giving us $150 million for that fight.
Oh, yeah, I definitely would be focused on that.
That's a lot of bread.
Did Joshua mess up the money by losing? Because he's one of the most flawed champions in recent history, and he loses so graciously, too. I don't like my champions losing that graciously. And like, did he mess up the money? Because I don't know if that fight is going to be as big because he's such a flawed
Joshua
champion.
Well, Joshua is against the undisputed sportsmanship award. Yeah. I mean, he almost acts happy when he loses.
Right. Like, I get to grow more as a person. Like, what are you talking about, man?
It's all positive thinking. Yeah. But did you think that, you guys were signed up for the trilogy. That's what Wilder wanted. He picked up the option on it. But did you think this would take place?
I'm surprised.
No, because I thought that we were out of the contract with Wilder. The arbitrator thought differently. It's like baseball. You know, a pitcher throws the pitch. It's a ball outside the strike zone. The umpire calls it a strike. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a strike, even though it really was a ball. So I thought we were free and clear to fight Joshua. And the arbitrator differed. And, he's entitled to his opinion. He's a good man, but I disagreed with him. But he called it a ball, a strike, and so you got to live with it.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're involved in the trilogy rather than a unification fight, which we would have been doing now between Fury and Joshua.
Yeah, well, we're big fans of Tyson, obviously. A great personality. But Bart was saying he's the likable Conor McGregor type personality. Like, you just like him so much, you root for him. And obviously that's what makes this. He's, such a big celebrity that makes this weekend's fight still
Champ feels, he a seems, must he watch. Seems, he seems agitated. He seems like he wants to prove a point.
Oh, did you see?
Because of the excuses that Wilder had, it looks like he wanted to beat him worse. So will he sit down and maybe try and, punish him more and put himself in harm's way to take a shot from Wilder, especially knowing that maybe because of the champ got COVID, that actually gave Wilder more time to heal from his injuries from the first fight?
That may very well be. It may very well be. Again, your guess is as good as mine. Mm. I mean, I promote the fight. I'm close to Tyson Fury. But I have no idea what kind of fight he's going to fight. The last time they fought, he told me and he told everybody that he wasn't going to box Wilder. He was going to go out and take the fight to Wilder and destroy him, which is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wilder people didn't believe him. They thought, it was like a smokescreen. So now he's not saying or hasn't said how he's going to attack Wilder. But the guy he has as his trainer, who he called Sugar Hill, it's Emmanuel Stewart's, the
Frunk
late Emmanuel Jim. Stewart, Frunk the great
Jim,
trainer,
stand up,
his
baby.
Nephew.
From Detroit.
Yeah, and Sugar Hill I've spent now a lot of time with him. He's really a great, great trainer, brilliant tactician. And we, as a matter of fact, we have him training Ali's grandson, Nicole Ali, who will be fighting on October 23rd in Atlanta on the Shakur Stevenson-Herring card. So we have a lot of confidence and faith in Sugar Hill, and so does Tyson. And what game plan they're going to roll out, we'll have to wait until Saturday night to see.
Well, you know we're both looking forward to it, and we always look forward to talking with you, Bob. Thanks so much for a few minutes here. All the best.
All right, Mike. Great talking to you guys. It's a real pleasure, and hope to speak to you soon.
You got it. Bob Arum again from Top Rank, and the fight this weekend, Fury Wilder 3. We've been waiting a long time. Wasn't sure we were going to have it, as he mentioned. Was he saying 150 mil was what they were offering for
in the UK,
Joshua?
The fight over there, man. And he messed up the money because he keep losing, He keep losing.
You talk about damn. When he said that, like, he cut us off. Like, they were offering 100, like, geez.
And Wilder was like, nope. My turn, like, come on, man. Fight you next. I'll give you $10 million to fight when I bring all the bills back and be for all of them.
Now you know why Bob just, like, he let you know it too right at that moment. Like, yeah, well, no, we really were focused on this other fight. You want to know why? Here's why. We had 150 million reasons why.
I just hope Anthony Joshua didn't mess up the money because at this point, if
– yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, if he can't win, and then that's why if he can't win, you have to get Fury – the undisputed. You got to give him a chance to go get Usyk. So then now you can say, oh, Joshua can come back and take a fight forever.
Like, that's
it takes
problem.
2 years. It takes 2 years. But if he loses and you go fight him, like, you just beat a guy that just lost to Usyk. So how does that make you look great? It only makes it look great if he beats Usyk and then
got to beat him on the right. The
and that means Joshua got to go fight a guy like Dillon Whyte for the chance to be the number one contender to fight. So Joshua really messed up the money.
Yes.
No, and he did it. He just smiled. Last week, he messed up the money. That was last week. This fight was supposed to be this week.
Right.
So then you can announce, oh, it's time. It's on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He messed up the money. He stepped on $150
million. That's amazing when he said that. All right. But Wilder Fury 3, Saturday night again, ESPN Plus. And Bob Arum said at 9 p.m. Eastern. Do you believe it?
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I believe it.
Yeah, Bob.
But still, we have the press conference tomorrow on ESPN 2 at 5 p.m. Eastern. That'll be interesting because if you go to Top Rank's Twitter, Tyson Fury had a very quick 10-second message to Deontay Wilder, and we can't play it for you on the air. That's how spicy it was. The weigh-in also at 5 p.m., this time, though, on Friday, also on ESPN 2. So certainly a lot there to discuss and a lot there to look forward to, which is going to be a really entertaining weekend of sports, as it has been now this time of year, always is. Hey, Bart, we'll get some calls, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776, and get back into Yankees-Red Sox tonight. Wild card game tonight in the American League. I got this email that I wanted to discuss with you, and now I have to find it. But I want to ask you, are you a big fan of Emmitt Smith?
No.
Why not?
Because Barry Sanders is the greatest running back in history.
Fair enough.
If he had that line, so I respect him, though. He cool.
Right.
But, you know, my beef with LeBron is because of the Pistons. My beef with Emmitt is because of Barry Sanders.
All right, but personally, though, you have no issues, right?
Yeah, I like him personally.
So think about this. So Emmitt Smith is selling his house in Dallas. And the house is $2.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what you get if you buy the house?
Free tickets?
No.
Oh.
Buy Emmitt Smith's house. This is the promo. And get an Emmitt Smith dinner date. No reaction.
You get a dinner date with Emmitt?
Yeah, apparently that's what they're doing here.
Is he going to choreograph a TikTok? Because you know he won Dance with the Stars. He can dance.
Yes, exactly.
So I want to choreograph a TikTok.
So, yeah, and of course, what was his number?
22.
And that's the house is $2.2
million. Huh.
And so that's part of this whole promo that they're doing.
We got to update the kitchen. We got to update kitchen. I want to update the kitchen. We gave me that. He bought the house in 92.
I haven't checked out the house. It's in Dallas. He bought it. Oh, he built it in 95.
Ooh.
That's all right.
Since where was
10,000 square foot home.
Okay. That's a good size.
Yeah, next to a large wooded park, lake, private access, gated drive, grand entrance, two-story foyer, impressive, unique wood and wrought iron suspended staircase, large enough to allow a grand piano. All the rooms are Texas big.
Texas big.
And again, you can go through the whole house and how great it is and how nice it is, but you also get to have dinner with Emmett Smith. So would that motivate you to buy a house? I don't know. Emmett Smith's a nice guy.
It's a lot of little rich people around there that like, you know what, I like Emmett. Let me go ahead and get his little $2 million house. I'm gonna tear it down and build something on top of it.
Stop.
But let me go just to meet.
Let me just go have some dinner with him.
Yeah,
as well.
Go have some dinner. I'll buy the house.
It's Barton Howard, brought to you by Goodyear. Uh oh. That just disappeared from my screen. But anyways, coming up. Oh, there it is. Brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear, more driven. So not many know baseball better than our next guest. He's one of our favorite people to talk baseball with, and he's got everything you need to know about tonight's Yankees-Red Sox win-or-go-home matchup. Once again, the best rivalry in sports. We have it tonight. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Save! He scores! And the Yankees are headed to the playoffs!
You know, we'd love to play at home, you know, especially that wild card game, but, you know, we were excited anywhere we went. Getting a chance to go to Boston and play it, it's going to be, you know, an exciting matchup for sure. That's going to be a fun game right there.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio. Pack it up, pack it in. We've got wild card baseball tonight, American League, Red Sox, Yankees. Yes, the rivalry continues tonight. You can hear it on ESPN Radio. You can watch it on ESPN as well. And this is why when we discuss this kind of – when we discuss baseball, a first name that always comes to mind when we say, all right, who do you want to have on? Buster Olney. We always want to talk to Buster about this stuff, and he joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline on what, of course, is a busy day for you. Buster, how you doing?
What it is. Fired up, excited, ready to go.
Absolutely. And
I didn't think they were going to make it, Buster.
Well, it feels like I am excited about it because it's the history of these two franchises head to head. We know it goes, you know, back 100 years. And so that's the fun part of this. But in a way it feels like and your prize is you get to play the Rays. A five-game series and deal with death by
Debbie
1,000
Downer,
cuts.
Man. That's not. We don't worry about that. Let's live in the moment.
We don't have to worry about that right now. No, we do not. But when you look at this matchup, just though head to head, these two teams. Bless you. What would you say is the most important thing for either team, for the Red Sox to win, for the Yankees to win? What would be the most important thing that has to happen tonight?
Well, for the Red Sox to win, Nathan Eovaldi has to pitch deep into the game. Alex Cora does not have what Aaron Boone has, which is this great buffet of high-end relievers, you know, to call on. The Red Sox, since the trade deadline, have the third worst ERA in baseball out of their bullpen. The only teams that are worse are the Washington Nationals and the Baltimore Orioles, and that's a really high standard, okay? Mm-hmm. They need Eovaldi to be a lot better than he was on September 24th when the Yankees ripped him for 7 runs and 2 2/3 innings. He had no slider that day. I'm going to talk about in the open of the show tonight, watch the swings and misses for Eovaldi early because in that last start, because he didn't have a slider, 59 pitches, just 3 missed swings. If he comes out with a flat slider, that's big trouble for the Red Sox. And you know, look, I feel like that I can say this about the Yankees, but I feel this is also true for the Red Sox. The Yankees win if they play clean defense. They're not a great defensive team, especially in the infield. Neither are the Red Sox. Right. you know, they're going to have a third baseman in all likelihood playing out of place. I have not seen Aaron Boone's lineup. It's possible, you know, one option he could choose would be play Velasquez at shortstop. I don't think he's going to do that. He'd be playing Urshela at short, out of position, his normal position. They'd be playing Odor at third base, out of position. You know, Gary Sanchez is going to be on the bench to start the game, but if they put him in the game as a pinch hitter and he goes behind the plate, that's another situation where you're crossing your fingers.
Right.
I actually think that going into this game, it's the biggest on-paper advantage I've ever seen in a wild card game, where the Yankees clearly, between Garrett Cole and all those relievers lined up, have an advantage on paper, because it's one game.
Right? Yeah.
It's one game. Right. Anything could happen. Bogaerts hits a home run the first inning, everything changes.
Hey, Buster, do you think they gave any consideration maybe to not using Garrett Cole, so if they did get past the Red Sox, that they can have him twice for the next series? And would have been the worst thing to have maybe a bit of a opener, and even today not really use Cole that much, so that they can maybe have his services twice if they advance?
You know how when coaches and managers, you hear, well, we're focused on today. The most important thing in our life right now is today's game. The Yankees, Aaron Boone's been saying that, players have been saying that, and in this case, I completely believe it. Like, they have felt so much on edge, you know, hanging onto the ledge with their fingernails, that truly I believe that they are focused on today. And I know Garrett Cole's been up and down. In that last start against the Blue Jays, they jumped his fastball early in the count. Something I'm going to look for tonight with him is how he uses his secondary pitches right out of the gate. Kiker Hernandez, for example, the Red Sox, a big-time first pitch fastball hitter. If you see Garrett Cole coming out spinning breaking balls right out of the gate, that'll give you some insight into his mindset. I think tonight you just focus on tonight, and then you worry about the Rays. And you're right to cast them as you just did. They're my pick to win the World Series. You know, watching them the last 2 weeks, that lineup up and down, it's unbelievable. But for the Yankees tonight, they just have to, again, get through this gauntlet of games they've had over the last week or so.
Yeah, Buster, what do you make of that? Like, we talk about the Rays. The Yankees go into that final series of the season needing to win to get in. The Rays had nothing, literally nothing to play for. And, you know, the better part of 5 days off before they have to worry about playing on Thursday to begin the ALDS against whomever. But they played that weekend series as if it mattered to them, as if they wanted to, and they squeezed every little bit of energy out of the Yankees to just get that 1-0 win on Sunday that desperately needed. But what do you make of that, that they didn't go into that weekend thinking, let's not use up our guys, let's not waste our guys, let's just rest, and who cares what happens to the Yankees? They played that series like it mattered to them. What do you make of that?
Well, the fact that they've got these days off leading up to the start of the division series, because we've seen a number of examples the last 20 years of MLB teams that are red hot, and then they go through, you know, a 3-day lag, a 4-day lag, a 7-day lag, and they come back and they're not, not tuned up. And I think that's the primary reason why Kevin Cash, you know, he played it out in terms of keeping his guys in there. And keep in mind, too, it's not like he overextended anybody. I'm sure if there had been a guy in his lineup who had kind of a nagging injury, he would have sat him down. I also think that what we saw in that series, which is, let's face it, the Rays dominated 90% of that series, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
They're the better team.
Yes.
Right now, there's no doubt about it. When you add Wander Franco and Nelson Cruz in the middle of that order of a team that made the World Series last year, with the depth they have in the pitching staff, that is a really dangerous team. And it's, as they say, I picked them to win the World Series after what I saw last couple weeks.
See, me, aside from everybody else, I believe that that's a good thing, right? That a team like the Rays can win a title with the way they, you know, go about operations. Allen doesn't think so. Tell him I'm right. So every once in a while, the little guy has to win something, man, to prove that everybody has a chance.
Well, especially in baseball, right, where there's no salary cap, where the Rays, you know, have a payroll one-third of the Yankees. I do think that there's some value with that in the sport when the little man wins. I will tell you that my pick in the World Series, which would be Tampa Bay beating Milwaukee,
wow,
would probably lead to some television executive leaping off buildings. I don't mean that literally.
Yes.
But the dream matchup for TV, of course, would be Dodgers versus Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rays right now, they are really good.
Yeah, no, I, and you can see it. And I felt like, I thought you might say this, the Rays wanted to let the Yankees know. Like, it's like send that message. Like, hey, if we see you, just know, don't forget, we own you. Like, we own you. And they play like a team that is just, you know, entirely confident against the Yankees. With Kevin Cash, he seems to just always move the chess pieces better than whoever it is in the dugout for the Yankees. It's just something that we have grown to learn over the last couple of years, and that's the maddening part. But before we have to even worry about that,
well,
go ahead.
Well, can I just jump in with a quick thought on the Rays on that? Is that I hear you, and it feels like when the Rays play the Yankees, there's intensity. Guys, they play that way every day. You know, they come at you on the bases. They've got an excellent defense. They got arms coming out throwing 99 miles per hour. They play that way against the Orioles. And I think in part because it's not like they have these guys who, you know, who've already made the $300 million. I don't mean to denigrate, you know, the Giancarlo Stanton of the world. He's had a great year.
Right.
But there's just a different level of hungry with that group of players. And I think they play with a chip on their shoulder. When they play the Yankees, they at this point, it feels like they believe they'll find a way to beat them.
The thing that really caught my attention, I was looking at the division because, you know, the Rays have, you know, pretty much dominated the division, how they played against Baltimore, the, you know, 18-1. The Yankees have scored the least amount of runs against them, though. Even Baltimore had 71 runs. The Yankees had 50 runs. Like, they just can't score against them, which for that team, obviously, as you know, offense is a huge part of when they are successful and when they are good. But, again, I'm jumping ahead. We're talking about a series that isn't even there yet. We do have that game tonight, Yankees-Red Sox, again on ESPN, on ESPN Radio as well. And we're talking with Buster Olney right now on the Goodyear Hotline. That we've had our – this is, again, as we've mentioned, the first time since 04, it's a winner-take-all game between these two franchises. We've had Bucky Dent and Aaron Boone and, you know, all the guys you'll be talking about, Curt Schilling, Johnny Damon. If you've got to pick one from each team – who's our Bucky Dent, Aaron Boone, you know, Curt Schilling on either team tonight, if there is to be one?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I just had vibes all day about Brett Gardner.
Wow.
You know, I just
Bruce Willis
feel
Jr.
like it.
Yeah,
I just feel like that, you know, and potentially what could be his last game with the Yankees, you know, or in his last postseason with the Yankees, it wouldn't shock me if he were to step up and have a moment. And I will tell you, Bobby Dalbec has been one of the best kept secrets in baseball over the last 2 months. He has been phenomenal. From Tim Hires, their, you know, hitting coach, told me that he really feels like he's benefited from having the counsel of Kyle Schwarber since they made a deal for Schwarber. He's learned a lot from him. He's played great. I have not seen the starting lineup today. I would not be surprised if Bobby's in there. That guy can put a bolt out of any ballpark. Mm-hmm. He is monsterfully powerful.
Yeah, that's a great name to watch for tonight. All right, Buster, before we let you go, I know you got to run quick, but just real quick, there was a report in the Post that the Mets will be reaching out or at least plan to talk to Theo Epstein coming up. You've told us before you don't see this happening, but the fact that he's at least talking to them, what does that tell you?
I think my guess is that the talk is no. Not ever. No, not ever. That's the conversation.
Okay. And here's my response. Sweet. Here's my response. Put your hand out.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Tell me when to stop.
No, I don't. He doesn't lack for money. You know, Theo is not only going to go down in history as the greatest, you know, head of baseball ops in the sport. He's going to be making a speech in Cooperstown someday. The next mountain for him to climb is going to be ownership, and Steve Cohen ain't going to give him half the team.
Buster, thanks so much. Enjoy tonight. We look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, guys, take care.
All right, Buster Olney again on the 5%. Goodyear Hotline. No, he has been reticent about this, though.
15% in
the
parking spot.
He has told you that the Theo Epstein is not interested in this job. They're going to talk to him, according to the New York Post. We'll see where it goes. The MLB playoffs are here. Tune in for the American League wildcard action. Red Sox host the Yankees beginning tonight, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So the talking's almost over. First pitch is almost here. Who's going to win and why? Who is going to be the Bucky Dent, the Curt Schilling of tonight? We will make some predictions and take your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Next, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and also on the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
No, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number if you want to get a call in before the end of the show. Or hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Bart and Hahn. And if you missed any portion of the show, Bob Arum was fantastic. He revealed just how much, in his words, the Saudis were offering for the Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury fight that now, of course, is not going to happen. But if you hear that number, he's like, that's why I was focused on that. So if you missed that or anything else, Buster Olney was great previewing tonight's game between the Yankees and Red Sox. You can find both hours of Bart and Hahn podcast posted daily, available wherever you listen to your podcast. Just a bit of news here real quick, Bart, that we haven't done a lot of NBA. But so Andrew Wiggins of the Warriors announced that he now is vaccinated, and like he said
14,
he did
14 million.
Oh. Said he had one choice. It was get vaccinated or not play, and so he made that choice to play. But Kyrie Irving, as the Brooklyn Nets are now back in New York, and there's a story on ESPN.com right now. Om Youngmisook, who reported this, that Kyrie Irving's not at practice because of the rule.
Do they fine him?
It's New York City's COVID vaccination protocols do not permit him to practice with the team. He needs at least one vaccination shot in order to be eligible to practice in New York, and he can. Steve Nash telling reporters today, no further update. We support him. We're here for him. Things change.
We support
him. When there's a resolution, we're here for him, and that's it.
Do you really support him?
And so at first the league announced that a player would be his pay withheld if he misses any games. But yesterday, Tim Bontemps, Bobby Marks reported that there is now an agreement between the league and the Players Association, the union, that he would just get partial pay. He would lose some pay, but not all.
Who, Kyrie?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like he's the only player now left affected. So it's a story to keep an eye on, because if you're Brooklyn, he's an important piece. Got to certainly figure that one out. Let's take Dave in Illinois. Do we have a minute? Yeah, Dave in Illinois real quick. Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
First of all, Alan, you did a great job filling in the morning.
Thank you. Loved it. A lot of fun with those guys.
Yeah. Bart, I'm a Giants fan, so as Alan would know, we don't root for the other New York teams, but much respect for you as a linebacker, and I love Rex as your coach. But you're fantastic on the radio. You're a star. You are a superstar at ESPN. Right. And my question to you is, I agree with you 100% about Daniel Jones, but how come other people don't see that? How come as just an average fan, I could see that play calling and no offensive line and Gettleman, they ruin these guys. Like Gase ruined Tannehill and Darnold, and Nagy has ruined Trubisky.
It's amazing, isn't it? Like that. Like the parallels there, Dave, and we got to run. But thanks for the call and the compliments, of course. But Bart, it's
sometimes people can't see the forest through the trees, right? I look at the talent. I look at what he can do and what it can do if he's put in the optimum position to do so. They hadn't created the environment and the culture for Daniel Jones to be Josh Allen, for him to be Justin Herbert. What did they do for Justin Herbert? He's protected by the wall of Gibraltar, man. You talk about that Denver line, they couldn't penetrate. You talk about that Washington line, no smoke, nothing.
Yeah, even the Raiders as well struggled last night. All right, Yankees, Red Sox tonight. Yankees, can they win it? Who will be the hero? We'll talk about it tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Bart Scott, I'll see you then.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.